Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky with so many options to choose from. How do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast. Talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena. Proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.
Welcome to the Down at Third Man Cricket Podcast. We're back yet again. We're on to episode 14 and we are delighted to say that it is officially Cricket Week. Cricket starts this weekend. We're going to all be out there, out on the luscious green grass, hopefully in the sun. Can't be guaranteed though because it is Stoke-on-Trent. But we're going to be out there, and to be fair, I'm sure as we'll find out in a little while, we were all out there on Saturday and there was some interesting results, as I'm sure Jono and Aid will no doubt want to tell you all about. But before we get going into that, we'd just like to sort of send our thoughts and our love out to the Tatton family at Port Hill. We had sad news today that Chris Senior had passed away after battling illness for a while. I know Chris, having worked with him, and Charlie, having taught him, and Johnny's also a great lad, and Karen, the mum, is one of the loveliest women you'll meet. So we'd just like to send our thoughts and love from us guys and from our clubs out to them. Right then, tonight we have got with me, well, I've now got with me two all-rounders, I'm going to claim, following on from the weekend.
We've got Jono.
We've got Jono.
I'll stop you there, mate.
And Aid. Explain, boys, explain why you're now both considered all-rounders after
Saturday's friendly. There's only one all-rounder here, mate.
Come on.
Actually, no, there isn't. There's none. There's no all-rounder.
Come on then, Jono. What are you going to say to us, Aid?
No, Aid's going to tell the story, mate, and then I'll chip in after.
Am I telling the story about Jono?
Yeah, tell the old day if you want, mate. I don't mind.
No, I won't go with the old day, mate. I can't remember half of it, but basically, I was temporary skipper. I gave Ali Khan a bowl, you know, who does not bowl, but he's making out that he can, so to shut him up, I bowled him. First over, he went out the ground. That was sound. Jono's, was it his second over? Well, his first over, actually. He bounced someone and nearly got caught. And I don't know how that happened. And then, I think, like, second or third ball, his second over, he bowled someone pegs everywhere. And he just gave it the big end to the people having a beer on the sideline. And then, I think my story's better, though, to be fair.
Oh, here we go.
I put myself at number 9 just so I can have a couple of beers and give everyone a go. And then my mum's father he's had a few gins at this point. And he says, if you hit a 6 in the first 3 balls, I'll give you £20. I was like, all right. First one hit me on the pad, leg by. Second one, get off the mark. Third one's pitched up back over the bowl's head for 6 and he's £20 laughing.
So, as much as you're now going to have to spend the rest of the season hearing that Jono is a genuine all-rounder and a better bowler than yourself, at least you got £20 out of the day.
No, I got more wickets than him, mate.
Yeah, he bowled at Bunnies, I bowled at the top order. That's what I'm saying.
Fantastic.
Can I just throw it out there that I don't know how anyone does it. I'm still hurting now. I bowled 12 balls. No, I didn't. I bowled about 14 because I bowled some wide.
I was blowing after my first overall. Yeah.
How long did I last? I lasted 3 balls, I think. And then I was seriously blowing.
Yeah, that's why you just do a walk-in, not a running like I did. Yeah, I managed 3 overs. It was a slow 3 overs, put it that way. Right, joining us three who know nothing at all about cricket, we have got someone who I am sure knows a lot more than us, seeing as it is his job to. And we're really glad to be joined tonight by a proper North Staff legend, someone everyone will know, and that is the Sentinel correspondent, Chris Travers. How are we, Chris?
Oh, good, thank you. I thought you were describing a different person then when you said legend and you knew what they were talking about.
I I think you are describing someone different to you, Turner, because it says Cheryl Butters on the corner, mate.
Yeah. She knows more about it than me.
Ah, right. So you've just been taking the credit. That's fair enough. Can't argue with that.
Is now a good time to mention award-winning North Staff cricket correspondent, Chris Travers?
No one else entered, that's right.
To be fair,
are you elaborating, Turner, or have I got to? Yeah, sorry, I've missed that. I thought you were.
I don't mind, mate. If you want to have a quick chat,
you crack on. I think you crack on. I think the people of Stoke-on-Trent, including the three cricketers, albeit cricketers in inverted commas,
definitely.
A massive congratulations to Chris on your recent award. Thank commendation, you. Well deserved. So, Chris, on behalf of all of us on the podcast and the listeners as far away as Cambodia and Nepal, a big congratulations and thank you for what you do. And we're absolutely chuffed to have you here.
Brilliant, yeah, good to be here, guys. Looking forward to Saturday. It's been a long wait.
It's been a long wait.
Yeah, it's been a long wait.
Sorry, Tim, I won't steal your thunder here. I'll go back to you. I had a question then, but I'm going to stop myself.
You can save that for in a minute. We'll let Chris have his own little section in a minute. But just before we do, I will just mention, obviously, the Sentinel pullout. Is that still available for people to get online, is it?
There's an online shop you can get it from. I'll put the link out again later tonight. But it's went down really went down really well, and hopefully it'll put a couple more sales on the numbers and keep me in a job for another week or two.
Well, at least the next 22 within a lot for all of us. Yeah,
middle of September, I'm all right then.
I think, you know what, Chris, it's the only thing now, since especially in the last 18 months having moved out, it's the only reason now that I actually go and physically buy a paper. Actually go out and physically buy. And not only that, but I actually now have to buy copies for people, for family and friends who no longer live local as well. So I've got about four copies downstairs in the kitchen.
Oh yeah, I've got yours as well, Turner.
Yeah, you have got mine. I was away on holiday, can't lie. Can't lie, I was away on holiday.
I was quite chuffed, actually, because I went to phone me boss about 6 o'clock at night. I said, the shop I go to, get me stuff, sold out of Sentinels by lunchtime. I didn't tell him I'd picked up eight of them at about 8 o'clock in the morning. But go tonight to the shop, and there's like quite a few left. So better start buying eight every day, I think.
Right then.
Bracket is on.
Before we get on to Chris and obviously everything North Staff, we will cover the world of cricket because there's plenty of it going on at the moment. I guess the title event at the moment still is the IPL. Another interesting enough week, a few good games, a few really good performances, and quite a lot, I would say, for English fans in particular. Obviously, the bad news was Ben Stokes broke his finger and is out for up to 3 months. I mean, must be a badly broken finger. The fact that he batted and fielded with it, I mean, for it to be a 3-month job, what do we what do we make of that?
He's got butter fingers, the lad has, hasn't he? Panans.
I thought you might want to bring back the Panans by some chance.
No, Pantans.
What do you reckon, dude, as a fellow ginger all-rounder?
Ooh, that's a brave thing comparing me to Ben Stokes, mate. Well, I'll take
you compare you that much, right? Just physical hair.
Just wrap him up in cotton wool, mate. For the important games, just do that. That's all I care about.
Right, yeah. I mean, I saw a few people moaning, saying, oh, this means he's out of the New Zealand test. I'm thinking, that could happen in training. Like, you can't blame the IPL for him breaking his finger, taking a catch, I don't think. Personally,
well, he didn't take the catch, Turner. That was the reason.
Well, yeah, true. he's a taker of great catches. He's not a great taker of normal catches, is he? I think that's fair to say.
Does he still get his money?
I don't know, actually, because normally if they're injured, they don't do this. So I would assume
not. You're not fishing for a story here, Chris, are you? The Sentinel swoop of Ben Stokes swoops and takes his money.
But how good would that be? Like, you sign a million, get bought for £1 million or however much it was. You play one game or whatever, break your finger and get it right off him. But sign his contract. There must be a little caveat in it. If you get injured, no money, but not that he needs it.
Yeah, I'm sure his Red Bull endorsement earns him enough money.
Yeah.
Someone who's had a much better IPL, or two people actually following today's game, is obviously there was Chris Wokes, who, having not played in, is it something like a T20 in 3 years, not played a T20 for England in even longer, has been sublime, really, with the ball, especially early on, as expected, and not done a bad job with the bat either. And then you've got Moeen Ali, I mean, 3 for 7 today off his 3 overs. He's hit some runs as well, quick runs, both batting 3 and batting a bit lower for them. Are them two now forcing the way into Owen Morgan's plans? Obviously, I know Moeen was already in the squad, but hasn't played in any of the last 8 games for England. And Chris Wokes, say, hasn't even been close to the T20 squad and for however long. It's bizarre, really, when you think about it, for such a good cricketer. Do we think they're knocking on the door now, Chris?
I think, I've got a vested interest here because I'm friends with Moeen's brother, Caddy, for his staff's connections, but I've always felt Moeen's probably one of the most underrated or underappreciated England cricketers. I think he's probably the best. I think the two best spinners in the country are actually not playing for England at the minute, and that's Moeen and Matt Parkinson. And it always seems to be with Moeen, if something goes wrong with England, it's his fault. We know how he plays. We know that, you know, he's good for a soft dismissal, but it just seems to be he's the sort of scapegoat all the time. I think him and Rashid, you build your team around him. Him, Morgan, Rashid, and Butler work around that. He's got to be in the 11. I'd have thought.
What do you think, Jono? Do we think? I'm thinking Wokes in for Tom Curran and. I'll be honest, if Moeen plays like this, he's got to be in India. But who do you then replace? Do you replace Sam Curran? Because Sam Curran's still doing a really good job. Or do you replace, and I know what Aid's going to say, do you take out one of the batsmen? Aid's going to say David Milan so he can push Ben Stokes up.
Yeah, spot on,
fit him in as the finisher. Or you batted 3 today, does he come in straight away at 3 for David Milan?
Nice guy, David Milan, deserves a place.
And you, John, I was going to come back with that. I'm going to let you two argue it out now, just for a minute.
I'll get in there first then, because then he won't know what to say, because he can't think on his feet. So I'll go with Moeen Ali, if he comes in for Sam Curran. So then your bowling attack is Moeen and the Rash, with Joff and Woody. And then...
four bowlers.
Yes, 4 bowlers. And then we've also got Chris Wokes and Stokes. And I'm just going to name a lot of players and then hopefully I only name 11. I'm trying to think. I need someone to keep wicket. That Butler can do that because he can bat. That's fine. Nice guy, David Milan, please. Who else plays? Jason Roy and Young, Johnny Bairstow probably play as well.
So you've got too many
players. I've got a lot of players here.
Yeah, at the moment I've got you either leaving out Owen Morgan or Ben Stokes. I mean,
Jono's picking the full squad.
Yeah, I'll just pick the squad and then someone above my pay grade can pick a team.
Smart. Dude, what are we saying then?
I'd have Stokes at 3, mate. And nice guy Milan goes on the bench, just, you know, the drinks carrier. Moeen at 6, Sam Curran at 7. Then you've got like 6 or 7 bowling options and, you know, you've actually got a finisher in there. Mm-hmm. But then there's still a lot of left-handers, and that hasn't solved the problem.
Yeah, I think you're always going to have a lot of left-handers, which I guess is bizarre when you think back to... I've seen England teams where I can't even name a left-hander who's in the side, to be fair, so... It's definitely gone the opposite way. But I think they've been the main ones, English-wise. Milan hasn't played yet. You'd think he might get a game, because the Punjab Kings haven't been brilliant. So you wouldn't be shocked if he gets himself a game. Chris Jordan and others who haven't got a game might get one for them just because they haven't been great at all. Rajasthan have been, I think it's fair to say, shite today. So does Livingston hopefully get a go? I hope so, because I really rate Livingston, as I know Jono does. And I know Nick Maskery definitely does, doesn't he, Jono?
So. Nick Maskery, lover of beer, Meerith Cricket Club, the podcast, and Liam Livingston.
Livingston, exactly.
Oh, and Lancashire Cricket.
And Lancashire, yeah, obviously. And Steve Croft. Don't forget Steve Croft.
Steve Croft, yeah. That's more Mrs. Nick Maskery who likes Stephen Croft, I think.
Yeah.
I don't, wow. When she listens to this, I don't think she'll disagree with me, but I just hope she doesn't hold it against me.
Well, actually, on the Steve Croft shout, I guess it's only fair we then move on to the county championship. And Lancashire won. Steve Croft got himself another ton.
And with a down at third man sticker on the back of his bat, I might add.
And we got Matt Parkinson, who Chris mentioned about 2 minutes ago, took quite a few wickets in his first game in a long, 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 long time. But as much as he did really well, I just really want to... Has anyone seen the LBW that went his way on the last day? Because, yeah. Oh my God. A left-hander literally played a forward... Well, it wasn't a forward defence, it was a back-foot defensive shot, really. But it was definitely a shot, a good foot outside of off stump. It hit him on the pad, and the umpire triggered him. It was miles outside off stump, and it was definitely a shot. What was your opinion on it, Chris? Because I actually couldn't work out at first why how he had managed to give it, because it was so obvious.
I think when I looked at it first time, I thought, what's happened here? And then the more I've watched it, I just reckon the umpire saw you hadn't actually played a shot. You've actually just, the bat's come down late on and you've actually not really played a shot at it. The Lancs lads obviously thought he hadn't played a shot because they all went up. It wasn't like just the bowler saying, what about it? It was all of them, they all went up. I can kind of see in real time why he probably did give it, but it just makes it worse when you think actually he has made a bit of a late attempt to hit it. He's not given it the full sort of shoulder arms job, but it was, a bit of a burgle.
Yeah, it screamed of a batsman who realised, shit, this has turned a lot, lot more than I thought it was going to turn.
Yeah.
It's not out every day in the week in Division 2 of the North Staff South Cheshire League. I'm throwing that out there now.
Well, what constitutes a shot? It's like, if you're not very good, it's kind of like, anything goes, doesn't it?
That's a great question that I also ask quite a lot in Division 2 of the North Staff South Cheshire League. What constitutes a cricket shot? But the less said on that, the better.
The other thing with Matt Parkinson is he did take possibly one of the best balls seen ever. Arguably, where would people rate it? I'm interested to see, because I did a bit of a poll on it and it seemed to be quite a lot of people rated it as the best by an English spinner they'd seen, better than Rashid's one to Kohli. Some people thought it was the best one they'd seen actually by a spinner. They thought it was better than Warne's miracle ball. I think that was maybe a little bit too much, but close. What do you boys think? Do you think it really was as good that good?
He's better than Warne's because Warne's Australian.
Agree.
Just done, mate. Move on.
Warne's is still the best one because he got it past someone the size of Mike Gatting, which is a top effort.
Yeah. Wide. He's quite a wide unit.
It
was one of those deliveries. I think one of the few as a batsman you walk off and go, I actually couldn't do anything about it. It was. It had a bit of luck at the edge of the foothold, but no, it was a. Yeah, I don't think Parker will bowl a better ball this year.
No. Although I love how you say that you go off saying you wouldn't. No one would blame you, but I can guarantee you, if I left a ball like that and got bowled, even if it turned 6 foot, I can guarantee some people on my team would tell me that I'd missed a straight one. It's just part of club cricket, isn't it? Quite a few batsmen doing a good job though as well for. In the county championship, quite a lot of English batsmen. Ollie Pope got a 200. Obviously, we mentioned Steve Croft, although I dare say he maybe has missed his chance for England. I dare say.
Friend of the pod.
I know.
See, you insulted him enough last time he was on.
Yeah. You called him old. You described it. To be honest with you, mate, you've kind of done it again tonight, to be fair, because you've described Chris as a legend. And even though we all think he's a legend for doing what he does, the last time you described someone as a legend, you were basically finishing his career for him. Like putting him on the pension, Steve Croft, Lancashire legend. He's reaching the end now. Like bloody hell, it sounds like an obituary.
I'll pack my bags tomorrow morning.
Yeah, never mind making it to the second week in September. You might not make it to the third week in April if you're not careful, Chris.
James Bracey, though, another friend of the pod. He was our first guest. He also hit a ton. Calls again for whether he should maybe be in the England side. What do we think? Has anyone stood out so far and you think, right, they deserve their go when it comes to New Zealand?
Well, Well, obviously, we want James Bracey to play against New Zealand, because then we can say that we've got a current international cricketer as the first guest on the podcast. That wouldn't be a bad shout, selfishly, would it?
No, I'm all for being selfish and just saying that they should pick people who've appeared on this pod. Because let's be honest, I will then be going to every cricketer in the county cricket saying, Luke, you'll be playing for England within 3 months if you appear on our pod. So
Chris will go from editor of the Sentinel to editor of the Daily Mail to editor of Crick Info, whatever he wants.
Yeah, to batting number 7 for England against New Zealand.
Yeah, to batting number 7 for England. Yeah,
why not? Anyone else?
Hassan Azad's the one that stood out. One of the ones that stood out for me in the first round of games. When he's done it quite the hard way, to be fair to him. He's come through Loughborough University, played minor counties for Lincolnshire, got his chance at Leicester, and with all due respect to Leicester, they're not the greatest side in the world. And he's batted out the final day against a pretty decent Surrey attack, 140 odd not out. You know, it's a decent deck down at the Oval, you know, fourth day pitch. It takes a bit of guts and technique to sort of do that.
Yeah. He's also got an absolutely outstanding little video of him getting hit in the dick, which I know we're all a big fan of. I know we shouldn't laugh, but seeing someone getting hit in the dick is outstanding, and that's up there with one of the best. They've even got him getting hit in the dick in slow-mo, so big thank you to Leicestershire County Cricket Club there for reproducing the video over and over and over again. I'm sure you'd chuffed a bit seeing that.
Have they put the sound on as well?
No, it's just in slow motion in all of its painful glory.
Yeah, I always think Liam Livingstone's were better when you even go, oh no, or oh shit, me dick. That was personal favourite. Bye.
Oh, hit him in the dick, mate.
Exactly. I was just on Hassan Azad and sort of the whole thing about Leicestershire and James Bracey being another one from Gloucestershire. Do you think the new county championship format means we might actually see some of these players from the lower counties getting a go for England? Because I guess the excuse has always been, oh, well, they're only playing Div 2 cricket, even though that doesn't necessarily mean it's any easier. Do you think that means that we might now get to see, because they're playing against the likes of Surrey and Essex, we might actually get to see a few of these names making a debut for England?
No.
They're not popular enough still.
No, I don't. Not under sort of the current regime, I don't think. It's one of those, like Duncan, if it was someone like Duncan Fletcher, then they probably would do. Because he went on what he saw rather than stats. But I think it's very much stats driven these days. Whereas Duncan Fletcher used to go on, like Trescothick and Vaughan would never have got a shout for England with their stats. But he saw something in them that he could work with. Mm. Which I don't think is the case. I think it's sort of safety now, isn't it? You go with what you know, rather than sort of throwing people in.
Does not kind of like defeat the object of essentially half of the England top six at the minute, though, Chris? Because we've talked about in the past, if you look at like their test records, and to me, a decent international cricketer, certainly opening somewhere in the top six, will be averaging 40 plus. And currently, yeah. I think the only person we've got averaging 40 plus is Root. I think that's it.
Yeah.
So could you almost argue that if we've gone totally the other way, that it's actually not working because these people who are absolutely stats-driven are not necessarily the bee's knees? Don't get me wrong, there's a couple in there who I think will get there, like Ollie Pope, for example. I think Ollie Pope is a serious player and I think he's got a place in that team for many, many years to come and is going to get a lot of runs. But Sibley's been there for a couple of years now, doesn't average 40, I don't think. Zach Crawley's obviously had a very, very strange test career where he's had an absolutely monumental innings and the rest has been pretty much nothing, which is odd. You've got Rory Burns, who's played a couple of good innings but hasn't really done it consistently. But these people get thousands of runs in county championship cricket. Mm. You might be onto something, yeah.
I think there's a danger that we go back to what happened in, like, the sort of late 80s, 90s, when it was like, what series was it? It was 89 against the Aussies, when we used about 146 players in 5 tests. It's one of those, you have two bad innings and you sort of, you're out. I mean, it's like, I know he's not a batter, but Don Bess, who personally I don't necessarily rate, but he bowled really well for 3. You got 17 wickets in 3 tests and gets dropped. Well, how can you work on that basis? know, you kind of think he's either your man or he's not. If you're a batter, let's have a 5-test series. If you come out of it with 120 runs, you can't complain if you get dropped.
Very true. Can't argue with that. Right, speaking of someone who I guess we could argue that about, actually. 5 Wisden Cricketers of the Year were announced. One was Zach Crawley, another was Dom Sibley, Jason Holder, Mohammed Rizwan, and everyone's favourite, Darren Stevens. Anyone disagree with any of them, or everyone pretty... Knowing that, obviously, they had to base it on just the English summer, so there wasn't masses to base it on. Everyone sort of backed those choices. I was pretty big fan of all those choices in the end, to be fair.
I think Sibley was probably the only one that I thought was a wee bit of an iffy choice. Crawley gets in for his one innings alone. It's not every day that someone goes and gets 270 in like the second, third test match. So fair dues to him. But Darren Stevens, again, Mohammed Rizwan, looked really good. Jason Holder always generally looks pretty good. Just Sibley is the one for me. I don't really. But I don't mean this any disrespect to anyone, but they were probably struggling to knock 5 decent names out of, if I'm being perfectly frank.
So let's not get Sibley on the pod now,
Turner. No, it's not criticism of Sibley, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, surely like being a Wisden Cricketer of the Year is like up there with like one of the highest accolades you can go around. Do you know what I mean? It's like Wisden's like the cricket
Bible.
The cricket Bible. If you're a Wisden Cricketer of the Year, it's kind of like one thing, you do it once. It's like becoming the President of the United States, man. You know, you ever do it once, that's it. You get your little stint for 12 months. And I thought he was probably better the 12 months prior and wasn't a Wisden Cricketer of the Year, yet he was okay. And he's Wisden Cricketer of the Year.
We have to start doing a Sentinel, 5 Sentinel Cricketers of the Year.
Oh, bloody hell, fire.
That could be brilliant.
Could you imagine the Twitter meltdown that would happen across North Staffordshire? Would be incredible.
There'd be some serious PC box ticking having to go on there, wouldn't there?
Josh Tittenser from Burslem. It's a good job Josh Tittenser is a friend. Titter would be banned straight away. He'd be serving 2 years.
That's the good thing about Josh. You say anything to him now on Twitter, and you know he can't respond.
Yeah. lock and key.
No. Silenced. Looking a bit more locally, Staff's had some friendlies. They won them all. Few people we know and a few people we don't know, as we've discovered when we looked at the sides, playing for them. I think Alex Mallow at 80-odd on, was it Sunday? Alex Coates from Longton took a wicket or two as well, I saw. So good to see them back out there, even though I believe they're not going to... Was it the T20 competition, Chris, that's been cancelled or been put off for a while, is it?
Yeah, I mean, Sunday, they played Shropshire Sunday in a friendly at Hindley, which was supposed to be the first double header of the T20 group, but they basically said, Shropshire, do you want a 50-over friendly? I mean, they've called it off, not because they can't play, it's just logistics, really. I mean, one of Staff's games was going up to Northumberland, going up to Newcastle, play Northumberland. It was a case of, can you travel 200 miles, please, lads, in your kit, not have a shower, and come back? It was just a bit, well, that's stretching it a little bit. So that's why they called the T20 off. But, hopefully, touch wood, they kick off properly June the 13th in the 50-over competition.
Could you imagine that, by the way, going to Northumberland for a game of 2020? I move my bag off when I've got to go across the city for a game of 2020 and they've got to go 200 miles.
And not have a night out in Newcastle.
And not have a night out in Newcastle, could you imagine?
Shocker. Right then, Jono, I'm going to hand over to you now so you can have a little chat with Chris about sort of North Staffs, and I believe you've got a little quickfire round as well.
We have got some quickfire rounds that I'm interested in. I'm just going to quiz Chris on a couple of things, because as we've mentioned briefly, award winning now, Chris, and this is not by any stretch of the imagination to anyone who's listening to this, this is not to blow smoke up Chris's arse by any stretch of the imagination, but I consider us very, very fortunate in the league and across the local area to have the kind of cricket coverage that we get. And it's certainly, we're at the time of year now where it's at the forefront of it, and we've had the the cricket supplement, which we've already spoken about. And what I want to know, Chris, is how did it come about? How did you end up in sunny Stoke-on-Trent doing a good job for us on the cricket front? How did that all come about then?
Well, I'm a Lincolnshire boy, and I was working over there, started out over there in papers, and I was at the Lincolnshire Echo, which is sort of was the daily equivalent of the Sentinel, and my editor took on the Sentinel, basically, and I came with him 15 years ago, and I'm still here, so it's working my way up the sports desk here, and here I am now, still.
So what's a normal day like? I'm always fascinated by this, because I wish I was like had a way with words and stuff like that to actually do journalism. But what does a normal day look like then for the chief cricket man of North Staffs? So say Saturday is a weekend, is a playing weekend. What will Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and the rest of your week look like then?
Maybe there might. Well, depends how I'm feeling. I might sort of start my report sort of 11 o'clock midnight Saturday. Start working then, do a few hours. Sundays, sort of 4 or 5 hours. Getting the reports done, doing the top four division. I think it's top four divisions I do for Monday's paper, getting them all sorted out. Then obviously with staffs, if they've got a game on the Sunday, I'll go to that. Then it's doing the rest of the, doing the divisions, four down to, we've got nine down to division nine have we got now?
I think nine now.
Oh dear. That's Monday's job. And then it's the Cheshire stuff as well. You know, there's Nantwich, Congleton, all those sort of teams. Bit of Milford Hall as well, down the south of the county. So it's now just getting to that sort of non-stop sort of time. The good lady says, yeah, we're getting to that time where you work 7 days a week and I don't see you. So she's probably right, but I'll say hello to her again in October.
sounds like an ideal summer to me. Apologise to Chantal when she listens to this. If she does.
At least she might.
I'm not sure if she does. So in terms of that then, Chris, so you kind of touched upon that. You said that it does take over quite a bit of time then, especially during cricket season. Have you, has it created somewhat of like a little, I'm afraid of this, like a little mini personality of its own for you? Have you sort of kind of, do you get to know kind of like characters from a distance, having never actually spoken to certain people and stuff like that? Is it that kind of thing, or is it literally just treat it like names and numbers on a piece of paper and just write what comes to you naturally?
Okay, it's one of those things where you kind of know what you've got in your head and you write it in your head. As ridiculous as that sounds, you write it in your head before it goes down on paper. So it'd be like, I'll look at the scores on Saturday night and I've already sort of worked out in my head what it's going to sound like. So it's, after doing it for so long, it kind of comes naturally to me now. But it's really strange because you speak to people as well, and I'll go to grounds and there's people come up to you and want to talk, and you just look at them and you go, I haven't got, you'll have a 5 minute conversation and go, I haven't got a clue who you are, but they know who I am. So I'm obviously doing something right or wrong somewhere along the line.
Reputation gets you everywhere, mate, to tell you. Your name's out there now. Exactly. Even gets you. One of my favourite Chris Travers stories, by the way, you won't know this one, so like proper non-creepy story, so I apologise in advance. I have never seen a man more thrilled at the top table of the league dinner than Chris Travers. And I don't know what it is, but you just, honestly, the thrill on your face when some of the chat from, shall we say, some of the more senior members of the top table at a league dinner is ongoing. It's an absolute picture, mate, to be honest, is what it is.
The last league dinner I went to, I got sat next to Vince Lindo, which was absolutely brilliant, but I've not been for about 3 years. I don't think that happened, but it was just that one. You look at him and it's like, I really hope and strike lucky I sit next to him. And thankfully I got next to Vince, bless him. So it was just story after story from him for about 3 hours, which was a bonus.
What do you do, man? I'm the Sentinel correspondent. But... Oh, right, man. then we're off again. Fantastic.
He was absolutely top draw. I think he knows everybody in North Staffordshire and beyond.
Okay, well, I don't think there's any doubt in that. I think everyone's got a Vince Lindo story. Right then, so, Turner, should we...
You're going to love this, Chris, because I've written the quickfire questions this week. There's some absolutely doozies here, so I hope you've... I hope you've got your thinking cap on. You've got to do better than John Hancock last week, because John Hancock literally flapped as soon as he got answered a question in, and he was flapping straight away. And bless him, whether he admits to this or not, but the first question he asked Turner and I last week was it okay? Was it okay? I was flapping. I couldn't think. So deny that he may, but we're in here. So Turner, if we're ready, who's on timing duties? Is it Aid or is it you?
I don't mind. I've got the music ready. I can time at the same time.
Well, I quite like it when you time.
I do.
Well, well then I'll do it, mate.
Yeah, because
I wasn't sure if I'd been kicked off. Seems I was on the ales last week.
Well, yeah, no, it's okay.
I just want you to count because I know how much difficulty you have with that.
Are you ready, sir?
We're ready. Chris, you ready?
Yeah, I don't know what's coming, but go on.
Oh, it'd be good fun, don't worry.
3, 2, 1, go.
Right, Chris, favourite sport?
Cricket.
Favourite local cricket ground?
Betley.
Wow. Favourite alcoholic drink?
Lager.
Best club bowling performance you've seen locally? We'll come back to it. Best club batting performance you've seen locally?
Oh, dear me.
We'll come back to it. Cricket draws or no draws?
No draws.
Paid players or no paid players?
Paid players.
Favourite newspaper?
Oh, Sentinel. I'll go Sentinel.
Good lad. covering staffs or covering club cricket?
Staffs.
Red ball or pink ball?
Red ball.
Whites or colours?
Colours.
Oat cake topping of choice?
Cheese and bacon.
That's a good choice. Best article you've ever written?
All of them.
And that'll stop you there, sir.
Oh, superb. That all was good. All of them. I like
I
it.
Love
I
the
like
oat cake show. Did you call that yourself?
Yeah, coming up with that myself.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
Because I actually, again, non-stalking kind of creepiness way, I've got a friend who I referee with who lives in Lincoln and actually knew Chris's name from the local paper and knew Chris was local to there. And I said, so I knew Chris wasn't local. I knew he was you're a Lincoln fan, aren't you, Chris?
Yeah.
Football fan. So, thought to myself, right, being as he's a foreigner to Stoke-on-Trent, we best get the oatcake question in there. I was really actually hoping for it, don't like oatcakes, and then we could have just ripped him for a bit, but that was a solid answer.
Prepared.
We've got to come back to two, though. Actually, I'm going to come back to three. Best club bowling performance you've seen locally, and best club batting performance you've seen locally. John had to have a really, really good long hard think about the last week. So
John started to remember innings, didn't he? As I mentioned names as the night went on.
That I've actually watched, or
that you've actually watched, or an absolute push. If you're able to provide some context that you've maybe written about, that would also. I think I'd accept that as well.
So one of the best bowling before I reckon was as a runner at Port Hill Park when they bowled Lee Cowell 2-3 years ago. They bowled him out for 21. They only set him about 120 to win, and Lee were like, "Well, we're going to do this." And they were about 6 for 5 after about 4 overs.
Well batted, lad.
And as a runner, I had him on toast at Port Hill. Batting wise. God, I never take any notice until I read the scorecards at night. what goes on, to be fair? I don't know. See, can I put staffs in there? Does that count?
Yeah, you can include staffs. We'll take that.
I think although he's a mate, I think probably the best one I've seen in the context of things is Pete Wilshaw got 100 in the 2014 Championship final. At Salisbury against Wiltshire, he got 100. I think it was 107. And that's probably one of the. I think he'd say if you get him on, if you've not had him on, he'd say that's probably his best innings he's ever played.
Friend of the pod, podcast listener, and local cricket hero and legend, Pete Wilshaw. Again, Tony, see, legend, but we're not trying to retire him.
Yeah. Well, Abe might want him retiring if he has Paul to him.
Yeah. I'll get him out, mate. Don't worry.
Yeah. He'd bat you back with a rolled up sentinel, literally. I'm going to come back to one more, Chris, before I hand back to Turner, because this has been a hotly disputed one over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Paid players or no paid players? Now, I've got a sneaky suspicion I know why you went with your answer. So, do you want to elaborate? You would say paid players. Shoot, the floor is yours.
I think you say paid players because I think it's the easiest way to police it. You just say to clubs, do whatever you want. If you've got the money, spend it. If that's what you want to do, do it. You can't have a rule that says no paid players because people will get around it. So I think you just open the floor and say, you do what you want. You want to spend 50 grand on players, do it.
Touché. And I think some clubs will probably take you up on that, I think.
I'm not providing the 50 grand, by the way.
It's a Sentinel sports budget there.
Kindly sponsored by the Sentinel. That was good, Chris. I like that. I think I only missed out on one question, I think, which was after the best article you've written, best article you've read recently. That was a little journalistic anecdote to finish. That was the only other one.
Yeah, I don't think I read Viz recently, but best. Do you know what? It's really weird, but I don't actually read a lot of newspaper articles. Funnily enough, you would do working it all day. Don't bother reading them.
Do you read your own?
Some people would say I should do with the spelling mistakes that are in there, but yeah, you do. Occasionally, just read them. You actually look back. You find sort of papers or find stories you did 10 years ago, and look back on them at then. And you think, what on earth was I thinking at that point? But at the time, it seemed a good idea. But not generally, no.
Staffordshire legend Pete Wilshaw smacked 100 again. Yeah.
That's again. That's a rarity.
It's a rarity. Right, superb. Turner, the floor's yours. I've had my fun now.
Right, then we'll go on to what I'm sure most people listening will be after, which is the North Staff's preview, part two. So obviously last week we did part one with John. We went through the Prem. We'll have a quick recap now, just to get Chris and A's thoughts on the Prem. Me and Jono pretty much agreed, really, the whole way through. We had Port Hill to win. We had Modishull and Alton and Whitmore to go down. I think, I'm going to get it wrong now, I can't remember who it was that we all agreed we're going to get. We basically agreed that we thought the same people would take the most wickets and the most runs. It was pretty set for us. John was a little bit more, shall we say, open to relegation, which led to him basically tipping about six people to get relegated. So, just wondered what Chris and Age you thought. Who would you tip to go up, tip to go down? And who are you going to tip as your like star man who's going to be battle ball, who's going to be the star player that people are going to be hoping they've seen play a game or two this summer? I'm going to let Age go first just so Chris can have a think.
And we just do Prem then, Tierney?
Yeah, this is just Prem now.
Ooh. Let's have a think.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't like picking teams to go down and stuff like that because you just get abuse.
Well, me and Jono did it. We just went out and said it. We were like, Whitmore, module done.
Whitmore, definitely. I'm going Whitmore down. And I'm probably going to agree with you with module as well, to be fair.
What about the positive stuff, winning it?
Well, you can't see past Port Hill either, can you?
So. I know, that's a problem.
I'm going to put Longton up there again, though. I'm going to back Longton. Runs. I'm going to go Castle.
Are you?
Yeah. Change. I'm going outside the box, mate.
Nice.
You just outside. Tip them to go down. They're bowling.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, he's going to be, it's like RCB, isn't it? It's like the main man, but the team's normally, you know, not as good. And bowling, I am going to go for, if he's still coming over, by the way, Bilal.
I went Bilal. I think I went Bilal bowling. I caught. Jono, who did we go for? Batting. We agreed on batting. Was it? Oh, I remembered. Louis Allison we went for. Ooh. I think we went for Louis Allison. Chris, who are you going for then? Because let's be honest, we're going to treat your word as gospel. And we're going to go down Stan James tomorrow and say, right, can I have 50 on this?
I think it's without sounding boring, you're going to look at poor Till Meekins again. But as long as Longton haven't sort of got any sort of hangover from last year, I think they might do quite well. Win-lose suits them. I know they've only got half the season this time, but I think they could be up there. They're strengthened pretty well. Going down, I won't say who's going to go down. I think I'll say who's going to struggle potentially. I think you're right. Probably Modishaw might struggle. They seem to have lost a lot of players. Whether they're getting an overseas in, I don't know. Whitmore, after what's happened with James Whale, they could struggle as well. I think they pinned a fair few hopes on him. But obviously with his Glamorgan contract, that scuppers that. I actually think Bagnall Norton might struggle again. I'm not sure when Bilal's coming in or whether he's going to be here for the full season, but there's a lot of pressure on him and Greg Willett with the ball to do something. Runs-wise, I quite like the look of the Longton lad, Saad Ali, who's come in. He was ventured from Pakistan via Turkey to get here. I don't know if he's going to be about. I don't think he's going to be available for Saturday. So I quite like the look of him. Bowling-wise, there's a lad. He might not get a huge amount of wickets, but it'll be interesting to watch. A lad called Clark Hadrill, who's signed for Checkley.
Is this the really big lad?
Yeah, he's 18 years old. He's 6'7".
Nice. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, that'll be.
And unsurprisingly, bowls seam.
Oh, so, I had him down as a leggy.
I was going to say, it would be a waste of an attribute if he bowled leg spin.
Not like Solomon Ben.
Yeah.
Big Benny.
So I think he could be one to watch. And obviously he's got the veteran performer Richard Cooper at the other end to sort of mentor him through the nuances of new ball bowling.
Yeah, good luck on Saturday, Rhodesy, if you're listening.
Yeah. Good luck, lads.
Right, before we get into the divisions, just want to do a quick chat as well about the Cup. So Cups have changed a bit this year. I'm going to let one of you guys explain it because I'm assuming you'll be a bit better at doing that than me, seeing as you're the ones who either report on it in Chris's case or in John O'Neill's case, you actually play in some of these top-level competitions unlike us lowly second-teamers. So who would like to just explain for us the sort of the changes that have happened? The T20 obviously has changed a little bit.
I'm panicking now. What have they changed?
What do you want to know, Tony? Right, so here you go. So let me summarize. So Premier Division are playing in the Premier Division and Division One are playing in their own competition, which is now the 2020 Cup. And the 2020 Cup is played on Friday nights. And then the secondary competition to that is the 2020 Plate, which was optional for first and second teams for Division 2 and below. I think most teams have had at least one. Some teams have had two, which is fair dues to them, getting two teams out on a Sunday. That's still going to be played on your Sundays, but it's going to be played as two semi-finals and a final like on a day, I believe. So back to that kind of format for the majority. Talbot Cup remains the same and Talbot Shield remains the same, I believe.
Yeah, I think you've got it spot on.
Unless you're going to tell me any difference.
No, spot on. It was mainly the T20 because I'm interested to see if people actually think the T20 being on a Friday night just for the top two divisions works or not. I think I like the idea of it, but I just think like we're down in Div 7. There's no point us entering the plate because we could literally be playing you boys, and I don't fancy getting absolutely tonked by you boys. No offense.
I believe we are actually playing. I believe we're actually playing a second team.
Yeah, I think you might have like I think I've
we've
seen
got Carliston seconds or something like that.
Yeah, so I mean, I like the idea of the Friday nights. I'm sort of glad we're not in that for the reason that it means that our juniors continue. But yeah, thought it was quite a good idea. Any tips for who we think is going to go and win that? I know Checkley are always pretty strong in the in the cup competitions, as are obviously the usual Port Hills, Longtons and Meekins. But any surprise names, Chris, for us that you would say in the cups, or are you going with the obvious names as well?
I'm gonna go left, complete left field, and I'd say okay, they might not win it, but teams like Eccleshaw and Hendon.
Mm.
If you catch them on a if they hit form like they proved last year, I know it's a longer format, but they've got some decent sort of ball strikers. They could cause a shock or two, I think.
I like them. Some of the best, so a couple of the best sides that I've certainly come up against the last couple of years, Eccleshaw, Hendon, the kind of sides where they just players just keep coming at you and coming at you and coming at you, and they just seem to be no one who's crap, basically.
And that group as well. Look, there's Hemeath, Checkley, Burslem. You think, well, if Hemeath had Banksy, he can win them that game in 10 overs.
Mm-hmm.
That could be quite a good group, actually.
Mm. I think that'll be certainly one of the groups to go and watch anyway, looking at that, when you've also obviously got Beers and Zen Malik as well, aren't you? So it's definitely one to watch there. Right, then, shall we get on to Div 1 to 3, so we can talk a bit about you boys. I thought Aid's nodding desperately.
Go on, then.
Desperately.
Depends what you're going to say about us, to be fair.
To be fair, I'm going to have to be positive about you, which is always a disappointment. Oh, right, we'll start with Div 1. Last year, obviously, went to proper season, but was topped by Eccleshaw, Alworth just behind in second, Hendon in third, and then Meath down in fourth place. Bottom end of the table was Sandiford and Wood Lane, and with Leasith just above, which I'm sure Aid will get to mention again in a minute. Some real good players in there. Like, you look at the runs last year, Liam Banks, top of the runs was 654. Miles Coughlin just behind was 601. And George Sellers with 592. You then got Zen Malik and Spencer Byatt. Obviously, both of them aren't in the league this year. And then you look at the bowling, you've got Steve Morgan from Alworth, 27 wickets. Arslan Arshad had 23. Jack Redmond, 22. And a couple of others were 20 wickets. So some good names in there. And some quite big clubs when you think you've got your Eccleshaws, your Hendons, Hemeath, Audley, Knipersley, Blythe. You know, teams that have been up there and in the Prem and stuff over the last 5 to 10 years, and recognisable teams. What are we thinking? Do we think last year is a good guide to how this Div 1's going to go this year, or is it going to be turned on its head? I'm certainly thinking Sandiford, who finished bottom, they've added Ryan Davies and they've got Yasir Ali as pro. I think they might be a little bit stronger and maybe won't be in them relegation spots. What do we think?
I think that whoever wins Division 1 will have done very, very well.
Yeah, it looks a very strong league, I must say. For what is technically like the second division, that is looks very, very strong, I must say.
I think Blythe will struggle. I can see them struggling. Without Zen, there's a lot of pressure on sort of Chris Plant, people like that. I think you're right, Sandiford. I don't think Sandiford will finish bottom, but I don't think Yasir Ali is what he once was. I'm not saying he's not a good player still, but he's not the Yasir Ali that was at Elworth sort of however many years ago, 4 years ago. But he'll still be, you know, 70% Yasir Ali will still be good enough to drag Sandiford up a few places.
Looking at the league, is there any sort of players in particular you'd be looking out for at the top end of the league, or any teams that you think actually could run away with it, or do we think?
Just want me to list off. So want me to list off some names?
Go on, mate. I like.
Go on then. I'll list off some names. Let's go. So Miles Coughlin, Rob Hemmings. Who else we got? Banksy. Who finished second? Did you say last year?
Alworth
just seem to be just a good, solid side every year, and I don't really know a lot about them other than the Holts. And just remember Mike Holt being ridiculously difficult to get away. But just a good, solid team every year. Who else have we got then? Ricardo Gordon. Jack Redmond. Like, you look at that three that Audley have got: Rob Hemmings, Jack Redmond, Ricardo Gordon.
along with all the young lads that Audley tend to bring through as well. I fancy if they can kind of hit the straps and be pretty consistent, because that's what they've always struggled with. And we only know that just because they're 100 yards down the road or so. But if they can find the straps and find a bit of consistency, especially keep a decent side out each and every week, I think they'll be there or thereabouts as well. Tough league that, though, I tell you. Tough
league.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're in the division below.
Yeah.
Newcastle could be the one as well. Newcastle are still got Asi Farazi.
Good player.
Yeah. He's got history in the league, so yeah, they could be pretty decent.
Do you think he's going to take a backward step because he's not bowling down the bank on a wet one at Bagnell, Chris?
That could soon be sorted out, couldn't it?
What, the bank or a wet one?
Oh, the wet one. Just leave the sprinkler on mysteriously 24 hours before the game.
Yeah. Consider it done.
I like that. May as well, aren't you?
Wouldn't like to predict that league, though, Tiernan, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm not going to make us predict who's going to go down particularly, because I don't want everyone hating us again. So I'm just going to ask everyone to predict their two teams to get promoted into the Prem. I'll go first. I'm going to go Eccleshall. And, oh shit, I don't actually know after Eccleshall. I'm going to go Eccleshall and Endon. I'm going to have Endon to just nick it above Elwith.
Oh, I can't believe I've not given George Sellers a mention as well. All right, because that lad's, he's class.
So go on then, Johnny.
You're someone who makes cricket look very, very easy, and I'm just very jealous, whereas I'm like scrapping. I scrap round for me 47 against Little Stoke in a friendly, in a scratchy Saturday friendly, and there's George Sellers making it look ridiculously easy on a weekly. Yeah, bastards.
Go on then, Jono. Who are your two tips for promotion from Div 1?
My two tips for promotion from Div 1 are Eccleshall and Hemheath.
Hemheath. Good show.
Like what I was saying.
Go on then, dude. Are you agreeing?
Eccleshall to run away with it.
Ooh.
My prediction. And yes, I'm backing Hemheath.
Is Chris going to agree with any of us, or is he going to tell us we're absolute muppets who know nothing?
He's got his thinking face on here. I'm wondering what's coming.
It's like, do I go sensible, or do I kind of go, what might happen, a bit left field?
Left field, Chris.
I think it's like, if Audley get on a run, they could be like pretty good. They could take some stopping. I don't know. I'll go Eccleshall, Emmy. And I'll put my head above the parapet and say, I think Little Stoke and Blythe could be the two to go down.
He's put it out there. Pressure's on now. Little Stoke are ripping up the central as we speak.
I get it every year. I've had so many. I used to get so many comments with, why have you tipped us to go? Why have you tipped us for mid-table? Why have we done this?
I'll be honest, when it got mentioned that you tipped Wedgwood 2s to finish 4th, mate, we were absolutely delighted. Yeah, we were running around the ground going, get in, someone actually thinks we're okay.
I'm just going to tip everyone next year to finish in the top 12.
Just
see if
anyone
twigs. Tiernan said to me on Saturday, the best way to what we described it was, if Eki and the Pro don't do very well, they might struggle.
Is that what you're also saying about Leeset, is it? If the Pro and Dan Redford don't do well.
I will say this for Little Stoke, though. The fact that I had a great day on Saturday. I very much enjoyed my pre-season friendly.
And Eki did as well, mate.
Yeah, James Eccleston did too.
That is a brilliant story as well, we forgot to mention.
There is
he bowled
great...
his 8 overs and then he just left the cap to someone else and just drank for the rest of
he
the
He just drank.
Year.
He walked off, sat and drank.
He hasn't changed excellent. Then.
He had his bat, his ball, and he sat.
And then come the Grez with us.
Yeah, and then had a fantastic night on the ale. So, say what you will, Little Stoke, great drinkers. If nothing else, so just on that basis, they deserve to stay up. Yeah, great drinkers.
Right then, we'll move into your land, your territory, Div 2. Last year, top of the league was Port Hill 2s.
Were the only team to beat Port Hill Seconds last year? Talbot Cup winning Port Hill Seconds. Who were the only team to beat them?
I believe that might be by some chance Big Land.
Something like the Talbot Cup winners.
Yeah. So not only did we down last year's Talbot Cup winners, but we also downed them a couple of years prior as well. But I mean,
you don't want to keep mentioning it, do you, mate?
Who's living off past glory, eh?
Nay. Well, they finished top. Norton and Ailes were second. Sam Batchem third. And then Big Lend, go on the boys, came in fourth. Mm-hmm. Bottom end of the table was Road Park and Barlaston. There was Kidsgrove, obviously, below, and we basically just did not play. And there was Meerith, who didn't play either, but they're back, whereas Kidsgrove have gone down to one team. We've got Meerith back.
You've included Meerith there, mate, who never played a game last year, so I don't think they finished fourth and bottom, did they?
Nah, I'm just mentioning that they are back.
Were just mentioning him. Oh, right, okay.
I felt like Nick would be upset if I didn't mention them in the Div 2 chat. Like, I thought I'd get him in for him. Okay. Ethan Sherry topped the runs, 374. Rob James just behind with 364. Tom Sherritt from Oakmore got nearly 300 as well. Niall Hassett, Port Hill, 25 wickets. Babacorn, 23. Michael Dyer, 22. And then some ginger twat, 20. Yeah, by the name of
Bowling average, mate. Check the bowling average.
I didn't bother checking averages, mate. I just went for wickets. Wickets are all I was bothered about today. Alongside Ross Kesteven and Stephen, I don't know how to say it, and Chris Heathcote. So there you go, dude. You got a mention for a good reason, mate.
Cheers, mate.
So, what do we think? I think I know what's going to come here, and that's going to be Norton and Hales will finish top of the league by a canter. Is anyone going to disagree?
No.
Are you actually disagreeing, Lalo?
No, I'm just being a bit of a pipe saying that we're going to finish above them when we're not.
Yeah, the honesty, fair play. Chris, what do you make of the recruitment drive at Norton and Hales? Finished second last year. I think it's fair to say they are gunning for top spot this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll see much of Ben Mike, the Leicestershire lad. I think he'll be involved at Leicester, so they won't see a lot of him. So yeah, there's a bit of pressure on Alex Lawley there, taking over as captain. They're expected to win it. Not 100% convinced. The more I think about it, they will be.
Interestingly, I guess, although Kidsgrove have dropped out of Division 2, half of their players do remain at Norton and Hales.
Yeah.
So we'll still be playing, technically. They signed, obviously, Darren Long, Khalid, Pringle, Sheeran, and then obviously Ben Mark, although, as you say, I don't think he'll play much because I'm pretty sure he's played both county games, far. So. But I'd imagine they're still going to be up somewhere at the top. Do we think Portal 2s can emulate last year and again be right at the top? I don't think they've particularly had any additions. Maybe Harvey Collins do you know?
He ain't going to play many games.
Is he not going to play, mate?
Play two. Because he's just had a
child. And he's got a sprog, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's more football, isn't he? So.
Yeah.
I reckon, I don't know, a handful of games.
Do you think they'll be up there, Chris and Jono? Do you think that they are that good? Or did last year just suit them?
I think they're that good. I think the format suits them. I think they're that good. And I think, as with any side that kind of puts out more than one Saturday side, because they're not a proper second team, as much as you want to say. They're as good as a first team, as they've proven. It all depends on the availability throughout the club, doesn't it? So as long as availability is decent, I expect them to be there or thereabouts. And a darn set of nice lads they are too.
I'm going
to go Oakmore to go up.
Ooh, Oakmore. Wow. Oakmore finished fifth
now,
last year.
Now we are talking left field, Chris.
Yeah. I think I've never been to Oakmore, but I just envisage it as going to Accrington on a Tuesday night and can you get a point there? That sort of thing. And a lot of teams don't manage that. So I think they might go all the way.
Mm. What do we think about Sam Batch and Bing Len, third and fourth last year? Are those boys going to be challenging? Just interested to see what Aid's face is.
I'll be honest, my Wi-Fi just went off. I didn't hear what you said.
I was just saying whether last year's third and fourth place, Sam Batch and Bing Len, whether they'll be challenging again.
I think Sam Batch are a very good side, actually.
Sam Batch are good, and they're all about 18, 19, 20. Far more agile and athletic than we are.
We're a bunch of overweight amateur grips. Yeah.
They're going to be a serious side in the next couple of years, Sam Batch. It's going to happen sooner or later when they all get a little bit older and they've played a little bit more first-team cricket, as long as they get them all together. keep them all together, are they? They're going to be a good side, I think. I didn't want to talk about us because it's weird.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
we're not going to talk about ourselves.
I think Big Len's bowling lets them down, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does have it.
I'd concur, mate.
Just going to slip away.
Top load of batting.
Holding me bowling average from last year.
Yes, well, I don't think anyone needs to know.
So, anyone, big names in terms of players that you think we should be looking out for? I mean, big name, big player, Irat Thomas. He is here. He's disgusted to hear. He was praying that he wouldn't get across because of COVID. Rumours that he hit a six out of the nets all the way over the scoreboard at Caverswell. I'm still waiting for a bit of proof there. I would like to see the proof if it does exist, because that is one mighty, mighty hit to clear basically the whole pitch and the scoreboard. Takes some doing. Other than that, Stuart Burrows, was it that Jono mentioned might be one of the best signings, signed from Tamworth to Sampa?
I've been reliably informed, even though I don't know the guy and I know nothing about the Birmingham League, but I've been reliably informed by someone who knows a bit about cricket down that way that he could be signing of the winter. That's what I've been told. Don't know whether you can shed any more light on that, Chris, or what, but...
Yeah, I've got one of my good friends plays for Sam Batch, and he's they're pretty excited by signing him. He's scored Birmingham League hundreds, so if you kind of do that, you can hold a stick, can't you? Really.
Mm.
I quite like the Irak, like you say, Irak Thomas at Caverswell. Apparently he bowls it at a decent lick as well, like seriously quick. So.
Aid's struggling here.
Not just as bad. I've got reliable sources. I live very close to Stephen Barker, who's at the Caverswell Cricket Club, and he said they watched him netting, and some of the batters weren't best pleased having to face him in the nets.
I'd
suggest it, mate. You need five on that fits your noggin,
or just stay at the non-strikers end. It's easy that way.
Yeah, I'll have the spinner at the other end.
Yeah.
Smart. Any other names that jump out? George Orbrook signed, Ante.
Good signing, mate. Good signing.
Especially for the shorter format.
Yeah, he's going to get it best. No doubt.
You think he'll make a difference to Barlaston, who technically finished last year, if you don't count Kidsgrove?
Yeah, but don't forget that Barlaston didn't they have two separate COVID outbreaks as well? So they missed, like, we didn't play Barlaston, for example. We got a walkover against Barlaston because they had COVID cases at the club, so we couldn't play them. So it's probably a bit of a false position. Yeah. And by the looks of the side, I don't think they kind of like had a full side out every week and like a lot of people. But got some good lads there: John Taylor, Ben Grange, Jack Davis. Jack Davis is still a serious player. Played a lot of Premier Division cricket. Don't forget, and George Orbrook into that side. That's not a bad top four, by the way. John Taylor, Ben Grange, George Orbrook, Jack Davis. That's going to cause some damage, that. I would have thought. Mm. I'm not looking forward to bowling at them four.
You don't bowl, mate.
He does after now. After
Saturday's performance, mate, you never know.
Come on, two teams for promotion. I'm staying out of this one. I'm going to say Port Hill and Norton and Ailes, Sam Batch and third, are just going to miss out. I think you boys will finish fourth again, just ahead of Oakmore, I'm going to say. So basically the table is the same as last year.
You might as well just give us last year's table then.
Yeah, I'd really have it. Norton and Ailes will finish top though, not Port Hill, is my shout.
They play each other next on Saturday, by the way.
Do they?
Yes.
I mean, I play cricket, so I'm not going to watch it. Like, but that'd be good. Interesting to see how that goes.
It's got to be game of the day for Travis's article on Saturday.
You have to go down. Honestly, I'm struggling. I'd probably go looking at it just because I don't really know particularly much about it. I would say Road Park, who finished next to bottom last year, and then
Simon Martin Dawson, mate, good cricketer.
He is a good cricketer. I'm still going to go with them. Yeah, I think so. They have lost someone, I'm sure they have.
Yeah, that's where he's left.
So I'm going to go Road Park, and then I really do not know. Probably looking at. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to go Road Park and Allsage. I'm going to say it's going to be a bad year for Cheshire.
Oh God, you can't do that to Uncle Gareth. Remy will be ringing up Chris, and he won't be happy. In fact, he probably, bless him, he won't need to ring him. He'll just shout out his window, and you'll probably hear him.
Come on then, Chris. Who are you saying for go up and go down?
I'll go Norton Ales to champions, Oakmore to go up, and Mere East to go down with Silverdale.
Ooh, Silverdale.
That's brave.
Ooh, that's brave, Chris, I think that one.
That is brave.
That one. I'm not so sure. I'll agree with you on those things, but that one I'm not so sure of.
I was tempted by Silverdale, but I didn't say it because I really have no clue what these two lads from Ford House is, who they've signed, what they're going to be like. It could be absolute guns.
Alex McChrystie is a good player. But...
Yeah, I'm not going to say they'll stay up then.
Yeah,
I was
torn between Silverdale and Stafford.
Ooh, Stafford.
Oh, cheers for that, mate. That's where we are, Saturday. So that's got loss written all over now.
Just go for a point.
Oh, God, can't wait.
Right, then. Last league, last division that we're going to preview. It's Div 3. Div 3 is, I guess now, well, it is complete, more or less, all two second teams now. That's how the league's changed. There's three first teams. So Mod 2's won it last year. Stone 2's just behind. Hemi 2's and Checkley 2's made up the top four. Hanford were in fifth. They were first team. And then the next two first teams were my club, Wedges, finished just above what would normally be the relegation zone. And then there was Crewe's first team and Audley's second team in making up the rest of the bottom of the table. Rich Harvey, nearly 400 runs. George Harding has obviously now left. Obviously, Crewe. He got 330-odd runs. Ben Rodgson, 330-odd runs. Rob Price, 26 wickets, topped it. Big mates for Scott Oliver. Scott Oliver, I'm sure, will be happy to have heard that. Rob Price has moved on as well.
Friend of the pod.
And then with 20 wickets, there was Ian Wally, Abis Saeed, and Faisal Mahmood for Hanford. I don't think there's been particularly many big signs I've noticed, but it's always hard with second teams because you never really know who signed for the ones and who signed for the twos. But what do we think, Chris? Do we think that we're going to be looking at the likes of Mod, Stone, Emmy, if their twos teams being up at the top still? Or?
Yeah, I think Stone twos and Emmy twos, I think they'll be in the top two. I think Harv's a pretty shrewd guy at Stone SP, and they've got Womby. Dave Womble still playing as well. Liam Hickey, they've got some good juniors there as well. They've got a good mix. And then Hemeath, it's like Jono said, the clubs that have got more than sort of two teams, that trickles down, and they've got a decent squad there as well. So I think those two will be the ones to watch. I'm probably going out on a limb here tonight, but I quite like Hanford. I quite like Hanford to go up, and they always kind of do quite well. They slip under the radar a bit. But I think they could be pretty good this year as well.
What do we think, Jono and Aid? Anyone you've noticed, or anyone you've come up against at any point that you think is worth watching out for in that league?
Well, as Richard Harvey, as discussed last week, is technically a boss of mine. I had Stone SP are going to win the league without losing a game, and Richard Harvey's going to get 3,000 runs.
Yes,
knows where his bread's buttered, does Jono? You've played a bit of Div 3, I guess, haven't you, at some point? So
many moons ago,
So, what's it? Any suggestions? Anything you notice that you think?
From whatever I've seen of Longton 2s, they always seem to be a decent side. And I'm going to back the mighty Wedgwood to finish a lot higher than they did last year.
I bloody hope so, mate. I hope so. Because if not, I'm going to have probably dire stress. So we best finish higher up, mate. Who are we going for then as top two? I'm going to agree with Chris. I'd Stone and Hemeath down as top two. I'd been maybe a bit generous and put ourselves Wedgwood at fourth. I pushed us up that far. I was being probably a bit hopeful. But that was what I was going with. Who are you going with for top two?
I'll go Stone and Marshall seconds.
Fair enough, dude.
Yeah, Stone and Marshall actually. Yeah, I'll get with that too.
What about
don't forget though, like Marshall, like that second team, they're off the team, they're off the lads that we played against, like in Division One, playing for Alton as well. So there's some seriously good grifters there.
Yeah, I've got them in third, to be fair. So I wouldn't be shocked by that. Bottom of the table, bottom end. What are we thinking? I don't mind going first if I have to, like.
Go.
I was going to go Crewe because they've lost George Harding, and when he come second in the runs and did half decent in the wickets and they still finished next to bottom, I'm going to say that they're probably going to struggle. Because I don't think they're going to have replaced him, really. And then, I guess it's hard to look past Audley Twos because they did finish bottom of the league, but I don't know if that was because they were struggling, maybe didn't have quite as many players as they would normally have, strong players at that level. But I'm going to go for the same bottom two as last year, to be honest. Chris? I'm worried about what Chris's face says, whether that's agreement or I've just talked utter bollocks.
Yeah, I was going to get mad. We might both be talking utter bollocks then, because I was going to get 10-2. Yeah. It's just difficult, because if, like, you never know, do you? If someone gets unavailability at first team level, it knackers the twos, doesn't it? But looking at it at face value, I think Audley Twos and Crewe, could struggle.
I'm going to steer clear of our friends from the parish in Audley, and I'm going to say the seconds will be all right, because I just don't see how, if everyone's available for them, a team that dominated Division 4 would struggle that badly. So I'm going to go Crewe. And then I'm also going to say Hanford.
Ooh, that's it. A big shout. That
so we've got them to go, maybe to go up and to go down.
Well, that in, mate, lies the point that I'm trying to make here, that you could literally get anything, I think.
I'll go on the fence and Hanford mid-table.
Okay. Big shout. I got them sick from my list, so I'll go with that, dude.
I'm going Crewe to finish bottom. And I don't even know. Beetle twos to go down. No idea.
No idea. Fair enough. Right then. I think that is more or less it for North Staff's preview. So we've just got a couple of quick little features to finish. New one, a bit of a listener's corner, because we've had a couple of questions in from a friend of the pod, listener to the pod, Jim Amis. The first question is going to be one for everyone to enjoy here, which was, what age is too young to be sledged? Because he says last year he came up against a 13-year-old who played in full Sussex youth kit, in brackets, jumped up prick. He bowled one ball which beat my edge and stood there giving me a stare. He said I was understandably completely rattled by this from a child, and so replied with, get back to your mark and bowl, you little fucking pube. I was informed by his angry teammates, which included his dad, that he was too young to receive such a verbal attack. However, I stand by my actions as I did on the day. As they say, chat shit gets sprayed by a narcissist in his early 30s. I mean, where do you want to go from there? I'm going to let Aid go first because I feel like Aid will.
What a fantastic choice.
Don't go to me first. No. We'll get shut down.
Come on, dude. What do you make of it?
I'm not going to go specific age, but if they're a gobby little shit giving it out, the gobby little shit can take it.
I'm all for that. I'm very much in agreement. If you give it out, as long as you're over, well, if you're old enough to be on the cricket, senior cricket pitch, you've got to be willing to take it. Obviously, there is lines to cross. Like, I mean, I've never heard anyone say anything out like that crosses the line out loud to someone, but I've heard some whispers in like the slips and stuff that I thought, fucking hell, if you said that out loud, I would be a bit concerned.
I would never be the one to give it first, but obviously, if they do. They do talk giving you quite a bit. It's like, all right, mate, you know, you can have it back, you know.
Jono, I can't work out as the teacher whether you're going to be absolutely massively for absolutely abusing a teenager or whether you're going to be the opposite.
Oh, no, mate, fuck them. They can have it as far as, they're having it.
Breaking news, John has been sacked.
Yeah. Rich Harvey says, thanks for the 3,000 runs prediction, but you're out.
Yeah, well, if they're going to give it grief, they can give it out. They've got to be able to take it. I'd probably draw the line at causing the fucking pube, but...
That is hilarious, though.
It is a great shout, but certainly I think I'd come up with something a little bit more canny, a little bit more clever, because it'd absolutely cabbage him. But no, I don't think there's any age that's too young. Especially if they are young enough to dish it, they need to be young enough to take it. I remember, mate, getting absolutely leathered by some lads up Ashcombe Park when I was about 14, 15. I think I made my first team debut and I copped a load of shit. I never actually said a word, but I copped a load of shit. And I remember crying to the umpire about it, who did nothing. And that's probably turned me into the arsehole that I've turned into today.
Here, here.
Character building. Character building.
Yeah, character building. Yeah.
Chris, what would do you make of that?
If you're 13 years old and you're playing a club game wearing a Sussex shirt, you deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what we like to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right then. The next questions are also from Jim. Now, these are a bit more sort of guided towards Chris. Now, I'm going to reword them a little bit from what Jim said, because... I think if I said it the way Jim said, some people would get very offended. First question was, which club would you say takes it the most serious and which take it the least serious locally, as in terms of does anyone treat it as like it is a fully professional sport?
I think there's quite a few that are close. you get a few. I think it's probably the one, the ones that reportedly spend a lot of money are probably the ones that treat it seriously. I don't think we need to name names, do we? for my coverage for the next few weeks.
The next one from him was he was interested on when you interview club captains, what are they like? Do you get some who treat it as completely like it's a chat in the pub? Do you get some who treat it like they are the England Test captain? Do you get a mix, or is it?
Oh, you do, yeah. No, it's brilliant. It's one of the best ones is James Mendes at Meekins. Brilliant bloke, and he does it knowing full well they are far better than what they are. But you'd always say to him, right, Mendes, what's the prediction for the season? We want to get safe first and then build from there. And it's like you've probably got one of the best teams in North Staffordshire. You're going to probably win the league. You don't have to be worrying about being safe. So he's good. But I think he does it a bit tongue-in-cheek. You do get a few. The further down the ladder you go, there's a bloke at Bignall End who, you know, don't know what the hell he's saying half the time. But
The thing is, we don't get a phone call very often, you see. If I remember rightly, the first words out of my mouth when Chris asked me how I felt, what did I say pre-match before that Port Hill game? Actually, my thoughts were, I really hope we don't get dicked. I think my words were, I hope we don't embarrass ourselves. And luckily, it was put very, very nicely that we wanted to do ourselves proud and do ourselves justice. But actually, I just didn't want us to get fucking knobbed.
I just remember bowling first and thinking, oh, no. Yeah. That's even like 300.
Ralph, we told the story last week when you weren't here, Ralph, because you were busy in the pub.
You were there as well?
Yeah, I was, yeah, to be fair.
Oh, we've not told you this story either, have we?
No,
John,
no.
You know, John O'Daddy's two, so he was on his way, nearly drunk, like. 2:15, he still hasn't left. So, Gina kindly offers to take Jonathan home and calls me a prick.
That's stating facts, mate. I don't really
know. Well, I called you a prick, or Gina called you a prick.
Both, probably.
Yeah.
I can't remember calling you a prick.
That's because you'd been drinking, sir.
Yeah. Do you remember that day? John Tancock won the toss that day, by the way, and just laughed at me. He didn't say head. He didn't say bat or ball. He just won the toss on a baking hot day in bloody July and just laughed at me. That was a great start to my day. Oh, well.
Right, then. Last question from Jim. He just wanted to know, what is your preferred font?
Helvetica Bold.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to be delighted to hear that.
That is a great question.
Great question. did you notice the immediate answer, by the way?
Yeah, the immediate answer was brilliant. I'm glad.
Should I have said the one in church?
I was hoping for Comic Sans just to really wind up a load of people, to be honest. Right then, last thing, as always, room 101. Last week, John Hancock wanted short and tee breaks, and it's come out bang on 50-50. So I was for shortening tee breaks. I think Jono was as well. Mm-hmm. Dude, Chris, are you up for shortening tee breaks, or do you think the half-hour tee break needs to stay? We were very much, give it 10, 15 minutes, quick snap, drink, get your pads on, let's go again.
No, this is under the current rulings.
Oh, current ruling, yes. Other, right, when it's back to normal, no. Because if we bowl first, I'll be having plenty of food.
Oh, we know that.
But yeah, for the current one, yeah.
Yeah, current rulings, yeah.
Okay. We even set Ash for 10 minutes in a friendly on Saturday and got refused by the umpires. We wanted a sandwich.
Bless well, him. To be fair, on Saturday we had to have the full hour stop, didn't we, for Prince Philip? We did, so.
Oh, yeah, we did that too.
Yeah, right.
We did that too.
To be fair, I didn't mind because it meant beer and burger time during the game, which was quite a nice thing. And I'd already batted, so I was happy to just go and stand at fine leg, to be honest, and chill. No problem with me. Right, I don't believe any of us have got a room 101, have we, today? Anything we want to throw in the bin? So, I'm going to go with one that I've seen suggested on Twitter today that is more for the whole of cricket. I think it was Ben Gardner, is it from Wisden or from Cricviz? One of the two. Saw him put on the E4, I think it was Ben Gardner, put on the E4 when there's a direct hit and an attempted run out. Obviously, it's not out.
Yeah, I've seen this.
You can obviously continue to run if it deflects. However, he was suggesting that it should be a dead ball. Once the stumps have been hit from the direct hit. Now, I must admit, I am very for that. I think that's a good idea, to be honest. What do you boys make?
It depends if I've hit the ball.
Oh, here we go.
Or I'm the bowler.
Yeah, I thought you'd say that.
If I'm the bowler, yeah, dead ball, mate.
Dead ball.
If I've hit it and I don't normally get many fours, then any overthrows are four. I'm all for it.
Well, it's not overthrows, it's just deflected and you try to run another single in it, so.
Yeah.
I'm for it. Chris, what do you think?
It's a good idea.
We wouldn't win a World Cup without it, though, would we?
Yeah, we would have done. It wasn't a...
It well, was, the batsman, didn't it? We can have that.
Yeah, one about deflected off a direct hit. If it's a bad throw, which I'm claiming it was for the England World Cup.
It's part of the game, isn't it?
Okay, so what Jono? Go on then, Jono.
Have
a final opinion on it.
I think I will go for. Yeah, I'm for that. I'll take that.
Right, then we'll put it to a vote on Twitter. We'll see if people agree or disagree to it. And that is us done for the week. So I think it's only fair that we say a massive, massive thanks to Chris. And we again plug the fact, get your cricket supplement if you haven't already off the Sentinel's website. And make sure that you buy the Sentinel every single week, especially on Mondays and Tuesdays. And also Wednesdays as well. Yeah, may as well. Just all week. You want the previews and the reviews and the results and everything, all the features. And then just basically keep telling the Sentinel that the only reason you buy it is for the cricket bit. And sooner or later, it'll become like just a cricket newspaper if we keep going enough, eh?
Keep going. Keep trying.
But yeah, big thanks, Chris, for joining us. It's been great to have you and have someone who actually knows what they're on about when it comes to North Staff's cricket and not just us three Muppets.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chris.
You're going to get me back on in September to run me through my predictions, aren't you?
So, yeah, possibly. Yeah, I did warn John Hancock that I would get him back on in September, and I think it was more of a, I'll come back on as long as we've won the league.
Yeah, but you tipped so-and-so to go down. They've won the league, having won all 22 games.
yeah. We won't talk about that. Yeah, you see your Ali tops the wicket taking charts is my prediction now. Right then. So as always, if you can follow us, subscribe to us, review us, give us a rating and all of the above, share us with your friends, share us with everyone at your club, because I'm sure we've mentioned like 90% of North Staff's clubs tonight. That'd be brilliant. We continue to get more listeners and more followers and all that every week. But we want more and more people involved, because obviously from next week onwards, we'll actually be discussing what's gone on in North Staff's that weekend. We want to hear about particular great performances or moments
as well as funny ones, because let's be honest, we all love a good laugh. So please get in contact with us as much as you can if you're in North Staffs over the next, well, how many weeks is it? 22 weeks, so that we have plenty to chat about, because that'd really help us. I haven't given them a shout out yet this week, so I'll do a big one now. Woodstock Cricket, always support us. Please, 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 if you need some kit, go on and have a look at their kit, because I've got to admit, it is good, because even I've found the boundary a few times at the weekend, so it must be miracle working stuff. Use our discount code, get yourself some money off. And then last but not least, as always, Jono, just a little plug for the old stickers. We've sold out of the first 100.
We have indeed. So big thank you to everyone who's bought a bat sticker. It was nice to see some Down at Third Man Pod stickers, like getting a workout on Saturday. We've got loads of pictures being sent into us. We must have getting on for double figures pictures being sent into us. So a big thank you to that. Big thank you to a couple of clubs that have just bought a job lot as well. So I know Burslem and Port Hill have literally bought an entire sheet and paid up for them. So all of the proceeds from the bat stickers goes towards the Danny Hughes Memorial Fund in association with Cardiac Risk in the Young. So big thank you to those people. And it'd be nice across the season to see more and more and more. I'm going to pester clubs up and down the league. I'm just going to walk up to them with a sheet and say, can I have 30 quid, please? But it's not like they don't cost 30 quid, by the way, everyone. But any donation is nice. But we've put a recommended thing on for 3 quid a sticker. And if we're really lucky, Chris might give us a shameless plug for the bat stickers and the Danny Hughes Memorial Fund, if we're lucky. And that'd be nice.
Yeah, no.
So in the absence of their big fundraiser that they're not allowed to do currently, so we'd appreciate that. So thank you, Chris, in advance.
Stick.
Best paper, best writer, best cricket features in the world ever. You can shove your wisdom up your arse.
Wow, I think on that note, I think we just finish on shove your wisdom up your arse. Beautiful. Right, we'll be back next week. We'll talk about the first week's action in North Staffs. I'm sure we'll talk about more IPL and no doubt more stuff about the county championship. And I'm sure there'll be even more random cricket news, probably more stuff from the 100. I know at some point over the next few weeks, we're planning to have a chat ourselves about the 100 and red ball versus white ball. So make sure you tune in next week. Have a good first weekend of proper league cricket. If you're not playing, make sure you go out and have a watch and have a beer, of course, because you may as well properly enjoy your weekend, aren't you? Cheers,
and
guys.
And you're not allowed to spectate, so have a beer.
Even though you're not expecting, yeah.
So have a beer, else you'll be in trouble.
Spectate, of course. Yeah. Let's not get clubs in trouble. Cheers to everyone who's listened. Have a good one. We'll see you next week.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.